For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia. We're back. Kinda. It's a temporary, just to prove to you that this still exists. It's the only reason we're here right now. So, here we are. It's been, I think Joe's been scratching marks in his wall and like he's in prison. And I think he's up to 94 days of no podcasting. So we're back. A lot's happened. We're not going to cover it all because most of it honestly doesn't matter to us, that to me, a whole lot anyway.
Well, you know how you are.
This is the year of if you thought I was cynical before.
I know.
I'm just going to warn everybody right now. This is the year of cynicism, and I ran out of F's to give. Mm-hmm. That's just how it's going to go. It's somehow, some way, this has got to be fun for me, and that makes it fun. I would say the biggest news going on with everything since we left was that we got picked up by Believe Network, so Believe Media, and we are a part of their, happy to be a part of their podcasting platform. So I think all of the stuff on where you download your podcast and stuff is still going to be linked to another place, but it is not there. I guess maybe that's up to me to change all that. I don't know, and no one's emailed me about it, but Believe is a legit, not that Armchair wasn't legit. It was just, it kind of faded away. I think we were left behind a little bit. I'm not sure, exactly what happened. Andrew over there, I was always kind and you know, answered all my questions and everything like that. Just felt like, you know, we were probably on our way out just to be our own platform the way we were before we came into Armchair and Sports Drink. But then, you know, as I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about what we're going to be doing this year for football and basketball and, you know, all of that. And I mean, I got a freaking email from Believe, like out of the blue. So, we've got everything switched over and we are on their website now and everything, which is kind of a big deal to us because it's the biggest platform we've been a part of. And plus, Believe It is a big a podcast platform. Also, this isn't going to be Believe in Syracuse or anything like that. They are letting us keep our NIL. So they're letting us keep our logos and show name and all that stuff. So we're just going to push forward with it and see how well we can do. It's a California-based company, so see how far that goes. And, you know, I appreciate all the guys over there and gals who helped get us set up. It was kind of a process, but we're there now and excited for it. So That's probably the biggest news. Some other news. What's that?
I just wanted to just kind of thank you for, you know, taking some time out in your summer on a Sunday to do this and allow me to get my podcast fixed. I feel like I've been patient. I haven't been bothering you. I've been allowing you to,
It's been getting there.
Go through the summer, you know, and, you know, then that email, we believe, came in. And I think that that was a sign that said that we were not supposed to stop. Not yet. But also, too, I'm glad that you've decided that you're going to go your own route with your cynicism and say, I'm going to make it fun. If they're going to ruin my fun, then I'm going to make it fun for me. So I'm kind of looking forward to the new Sean this season.
Is it the new Sean or is it like the Sean? You know,
maybe it's going to be the 2 or 3.0 version, right?
Yeah, I think maybe. I think that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
Because I bit my tongue a lot.
I know you personally, so I guess it's not going to surprise me, but I think it's going to be fun to see where you're willing to go this year.
But, you know, I also found myself being too, I mean, just be straight up, too emotionally invested in the Coliseum. Okay? And the Coliseum, it takes you out of reality, and it's meant to do that. It's meant to take you out of the things you should be doing. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for anybody to be 24/7 sports fanatic, but I'm just saying it's not good for me. And so,
ditto.
You know, I think as I got older, I held, you know, I wasn't as emotional about sports, but I still let it get to me and to be totally enthralled with it and immersed in it constantly. Is just something that when I started to break away from it over the course of the last year, it felt good, and I was able to do things in that I wasn't doing. And there's things I should be paying attention to that I don't, and there's things I should be doing that I wasn't. So, with that said, you know, my driver retires this year. I'm done with NASCAR. I mean, NASCAR's been going down the tubes for the past 10 years. My driver, I've been waiting for him to retire, and so I didn't have to watch that anymore. And the sport, that sports deterioration, everything is having the fabric torn from it lately. And within the past couple of years, since COVID, this really was the switch for me was COVID. It just took me a couple of years to like come to terms with it, where I wanted to be and how things, how ridiculous things got. So
I think it's been going slow for a while.
Yeah.
I just think since COVID, they turned on, you know, it turned it from like a stove boil to like, let's get the torches. And
yeah,
I mean, it's just been full blown, just warp speed, right?
Right. We've been sitting in the warm water for quite some time. And all of a sudden they're like, all right, let's put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
And I'm over here like, no, I will not be microwaved. Okay. Everybody else can be microwaved. That's fine. I'm not going to do it. But, you know, these are old tricks.
Own, right?
Yes. And I'm not banging anybody for whatever. No. You want to pay attention to the 2028 recruits coming in, you know, kids that maybe your daughter's babysitting right now. You want to pay attention to all that stuff? Then go ahead, man. Go for it. But I don't care. I don't care.
Right.
So, all right. Well, let's go with the most disappointing. That was the best news. The Believe brought us on their platform. Let's go with the best news. Or the worst news. That was the best news. Let's go with the worst news. The worst news has got to be Malik Brown going to Duke.
Yeah.
That's god awful.
Yeah. And if you go back to our last podcast, we did not see that coming whatsoever. We were upset that Kwadir was leaving. We only talked about Justin and Kwadir at that point, right? Then Malik happened. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be the most disappointing. That's going to be probably one of the toughest games basketball to watch this year, because I know the team that Duke's got coming in is going to be ridiculous too. So, but yeah, that's definitely the most disappointing. You know, probably easily my most favorite player on a team, and yeah.
I mean, you know, do you feel some kind of way, like the old me would get all my feels about it, and but I just think it's like we talked. I believe the last few episodes we did going into March were a lot about the loyalty and the this and the that and the culture of what has been created through NIL, which, you know, is the whole trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube thing, which yeah. we're done, right? We're done. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever thought it'd be a great idea for 18-year-olds to call their own shots throughout their collegiate careers was that's insane. But anyway, you know, it is. That game's going to suck to watch. It's going to suck to see Malik Brown go out there, play in his position, and be someone who's going to, you know, could possibly light us up. It's going to suck. But you know yeah. what? At the end of the day, maybe that doesn't happen.
Well, and then too, right? Like, we don't know. I mean, that they have a very talented team. So I don't know if he's going to be going over there and playing right. the same amount of minutes. Right. But at the end of the day, I think it goes right back to what you were saying earlier about just not getting as emotionally invested. I think that last year was kind of the, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back, you know, and especially when Malik went. And, you know, he's just such a professional. I mean, I love the way that kid carried himself and, you know, just a good kid, you could tell. And, you know, it's hard to be upset at him, even though he did go to Duke, you know, even though he was one of my favorite players. Like, I just like, to your point, I'm not going to allow it to emotionally, you know, bother me, I guess, at this point. You know, I have the one thing with these transfers is you never know why. I mean, sometimes you do. You know why Benny transferred, right? You know why Peter Carey transferred, right? Like, there's certain times, I mean, most of the time it's, you know, issues with the coaching staff or playing time or things like that. And I don't think Malik Brown fell into that category. But the one thing is you never know why the kids actually leave. We always want to talk about money or kids being, you know, selfish and everything. And who knows? I mean, the kid's from, you know, Virginia. He's moving closer to home. Maybe there's something going on with his family. You know, maybe their family has some financial issues. That's the one thing that bothers me is that these players go to transfer portal and go to other teams, and you never really know the main reason why. So it's just easier to call them selfish and say they're following the bag, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he might not see a ton of minutes. And, you know, when was the last time we beat Duke? You know, it's kind of one of those games where it's like, eh. Okay, that's a halftime game for me most of the time. So,
yeah,
it's a 20-minute game. I mean, I just, you know, it's just lately we've been getting our you know, asses handed to us, for yep. lack of better terms. So it hasn't even been a contest. It's like, you know, the gap in talent and athleticism there is it seems to be increasing. As years go on. So, and you know, I guess, yeah, I didn't know. I mean, if I'm being honest, I didn't expect it with, it is Duke after all. Duke is Duke, and you know, they're going to get those guys, and they're the blue bloods, and they're going to be getting those recruits, and they're, you know, that's not going to stop. But you know, when Krzyzewski left, you feel like maybe it would slow down or something or whatever, but then NIL was kicking in, and then boom, I mean, you know, you're going right. to have those schools, they're going to have a better NIL program than some of the other schools. And you think about, you know, what are the rules that could make this a little bit more fair? You know, like, I don't know. We're at the point where it's pay for play. That's what we're doing. That's, yep. that's not how this was set up. Mm-mm. There are no guidelines. So you maybe, I think we've mentioned before, Joe, like a salary cap or, I don't know.
The first thing they need to do is they need to make certain rules on transferring. I think, you know, you get
bring back the year, 1 year.
Well, or you give them one free year, but then after that, you gotta, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it just can't be a new team every year. You know, seeing some of these guys that, especially they got COVID years, playing on four teams in 6 years, is just ridiculous. You know, so and also too, I mean, it is Reds, you know, it's his second year this year, and who knows how much of, like, what the team was last year is his vision, right? Like, I don't know if money's going to be the issue. I don't know, you know, if maybe it's just a situation where he just didn't get, I mean, we had a pretty immature team the last couple of years, right? You know, inexperienced, you know, very, I mean, emotional. There were certain times where they would try to, like, show up their coach and stuff. And, a lot of those guys are gone, right? So maybe it's a situation where you kind of get rid of those guys, and then you end up going in like the four transfers that we got coming in. They're all fifth year seniors. So granted, that means that we're going to have to be, you know, reloading again next year, but we're not going to have an issue with experience.
Right.
So I don't know if it's the talent gap or if it's the 2-3 zone or Boeheim, you know, maybe our recruiting wasn't up to snuff because of certain things. We've talked about that before. I mean, it's just so hard to really know. But I think that last year was a step in the right direction. And I think that Red's just pushing more towards getting his players. And I just don't know. It's one of those things. Like, we can talk about the rules and what can make things a little bit more fair or easier, but I think, like what we talked about before, like when NIL first started, like, you got to figure it out just like everybody else, right? You got to assume that these are going to be the rules, and you got to use those rules to your advantage. So, you know, if it's sitting here and it's getting, you know, and you can just transfer whenever you want, and, you know, you can turn around and get four, you know, graduate senior guys, 4 or 5 year players that are going to come in and elevate that team for the next year, and then you just do that every year and play the game like everybody else, you know? I mean, it sucks as a fan, but I mean, I don't know.
It does suck. I mean, I don't know. It's just one of those things for me that's, I mean, look, this is what it's going to be. I mean, there's no fixing what they've done to it. So they went from an idea that was, you know, and, you know, shame on me for putting the stupid ass game at the forefront of this. I want my video game, damn it. I want my video game. Get the NIL done. I want to play my video game. I want that back. You know, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not even probably going to play the damn thing, but one season, might have some fun for one season. That'd be it. It's going to be my kids playing it. So yeah. It's like, you know, it's so, the way we think sometimes as sports fans is just, I don't know, so dumb. It's like, you know, but when we talked about this back in the day, because we were for it, right? And I'm still for you know, I'm not saying, I'm just saying it shouldn't be pay for play, and it shouldn't be, you know, all of this extra stuff from the cars and all of this and these kids going in and demanding a certain salary.
Yeah, sense of entitlement.
You know, dude, you're just barely out of diapers, bro. What are you doing trying to negotiate a contract with a school that's giving you a scholarship and NIL privileges, and you're demanding a price, and you're like third string? I mean, it is invincibly stupid. We've reached the pinnacle of invincibly ignorant, yep, and stupid. So anyway,
and I think that the 1 year thing could help the transfers a little bit. I think that would be a good place to start. Being, you know, after you give money, it's hard to turn around and take away money without people being, oh, you're, you know, messing with their freedoms. Let them get their money, you know. But if you go back to the whole, it's not the wild, wild west where you can just, you know, transfer every single year, you know, make a little bit of minimum on that, then maybe we get a little bit back to being able to keep a lot of, you know, players from the seasons before versus having to see, like, this year, what, 5-6 out, 4 in, still got 2 scholarships available.
For basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the big one for basketball for me, if I'm going to pick a favorite, is obviously Eddie Lampkin, because of his size, 6'11", 265. And it's like, what the hell? Now we get this guy? Like,
yeah.
Now we get this guy? What the hell's going on? So it's what, he's going to be a fifth-year senior, I think, or is it six? Is it fifth? Okay.
Maybe six.
It might be six. I can't remember.
Last year.
It's his last year, correct. And obviously, he's a powerhouse. He's just a huge body, a body we've needed for the past 5 or more years. And to say the least, I mean, I could keep going, but
yeah,
like back to Christmas. Not Christmas, the holiday, but.
Right.
So, anyways, I remember we talked about Quadir And we did not talk about Malik, but Justin Taylor going to JMU. And then Benny, as if, you know, I mean, it's whatever. But then there's Jerry McNamara went to Siena, and Peter Carey followed.
Yep.
Right. So we didn't talk about that. Good for Coach McNamara. And I also saw, too, that while we're talking about basketball, Mike Hopkins is going to go be an assistant coach for the Phoenix Suns. So that's cool. 30 years coaching and then finally gets an NBA break, which is nice. But these other guys, I'm just going to be honest. Jair Davis, Lucas Taylor, and Jaquan Carlos. Not real sure I know much about what's going on with them. I haven't been up to date on it. The only one that really caught my eye was Eddie Lampkin. So, and then you've, of course, you got Elijah Moore and Donnie Freeman coming in, right? So, I mean, it looks like a talented squad on paper.
No, especially with the people that we have. You know, if Chance Westry can come back healthy.
Well, he's been 2 years out of basketball at this point.
Yep. So he's just like a recruit coming in, right?
Yeah, and I mean, he's gonna, I would say he's going to start farther behind than some of the freshmen.
Other guys? Yeah. I mean, and these other guys, too. I mean, they're not like Jaquan Carlos is probably a pass first guard. You know, he's a little bit smaller, like 6'1", 170, capable of hitting the three. But I mean, he's been the starter. It's just they're coming from smaller schools. But he was pretty much the main guy, one of the main guys from Hofstra. You know, 10.5 points. I think he's got like over a 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. He averaged 6 assists a game. So really a pass first guy, but he can, you know, score a little bit too. And same thing with that was the whole thing with Eddie Lampkin. He was a, you know, 10.5 point scorer. He could pass pretty good for a big man, but like you said, it's his rebounding, it's his body size and everything. But I looked at Lucas Taylor and Jair Davis. Those guys, Jair Davis from Delaware, Lucas Taylor from Georgia State.
Lucas Taylor, I did read a little bit about him, actually.
He's originally from Raleigh, and he got recruited to Wake Forest first. Then he went to Georgia State for 1 year. And last year, he averaged like 15 points a game.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that. And he also, just to put it in perspective, he shot 181 threes last year and shot 35%. And to put that in perspective, I mean, Chris Bell shot 200. So this is another guy that definitely can shoot the three that helps and adds to the fact that it's not just Chris Bell out there or JJ, you know, relying on the three. And Jair Davis is like, he's 6'7", 215, but he plays bigger than what he is. And here he can play small forward or power forward, but he averaged 7.5 rebounds and 17 points last year for Delaware. So, I mean, and technically he was the most highest rated guy out of that transfer team. It's just they come from smaller schools. So, you know, like you said, you add them with Donnie Freeman and then the players that we already have available. I mean, you're talking about a pretty deep group of guys, you know. I don't think that there's going to be a guy where they think they come in and they're just incapable, you know, like don't know what type of Benny you're going to get or a Justin you're going to get or a Kyle Cuff, you know. I think all these guys are pretty legit players. So it's going to be interesting to watch this team grow, but I don't know if we're going to get anybody else or not. And the other thing that kind of makes me a little nervous, Eddie Lampkin, would you know, you know, you said with his size, you know, he only averaged 20, he started at Colorado last year, but he only averaged 28 minutes a game. So with that said, that's we need another 12 minutes from the center position. And is Nyheim McLeod going to be back and ready and healthy to do that or stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question.
So this year's going to be interesting. Like I said, I think we're going to have a more experienced team. But again, they're going to be a bunch of new faces. Half the team's going to be new faces.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be every year.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's going to be every year.
Yeah. It's the, it's kind of what, I mean, Duke kind of started doing it before. You know, they'd get these one-year guys or these transfers or whatever, and they try to put together a dream team every year. You know what I mean? So kind of like that, but that was before this era. And now everybody's, you have no choice but to do it.
Yeah, and some teams still can do it. Because I'm telling you right now, Duke has, I think, a class of six, I think five or six players coming in, and I think four of them were in the Jordan Brand Classic. Plus, they still have three really good transfers. Well, they took one from us, and they took a couple other ones too. So that Duke team is going to be tough this year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Well, Wolf, once everything's finalized, we'll talk about it. But, I mean, and what's his name's not on the roster anymore either, is he?
Who?
William Patterson.
Nope.
Yeah, never even walked on the floor.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where this starts with me.
Right. Well, and this is like, that's a perfect example too about like what you talk about with like recruiting. Like, I'm not going to put my energy in a guy that's one or two, you know, this summer is like the big time going into the fall of when you do your most recruiting for football for the next year. So it's like, even with like football, we have these freshmen that are coming in from last year that we haven't even seen play yet, but yet all the news is what's next year's class going to be. And it's like half of them might not even ever see him on the field, or they might transfer before you do onto somebody else's other team, you know? So it's just, this is why we can't put in the energy like we used to, right? Because yeah. It's like,
yeah, like I saw people freaking out about this. Like, I didn't even look into it, but there was something going on with Eddie Lampkin. Like, he changed something on a social media page something like, who gives a crap?
Well, he had committed to Syracuse Orange. You know, he had like,
what it was
in all of his social. Yeah. All of his socials, he had like Syracuse committed this, and he had all that stuff. And then he had deleted all of his socials at one point. And then I guess they made a big deal about him having to like come and take another visit to solidify his commitment. So I don't know what happened, but at the end of the day, he ended up coming back and, visiting again and then saying that he's 100% coming here. So I don't know what happened, but there was definitely some. But even stuff like that, like you can conjure up something out of nowhere. That might just be a nothing burger. And something like that with our fans and the way that they react or overreact, it could have affected that commitment.
Him coming back. He could have been like, whoa, these freaking fans, they're batshit crazy. Why the hell I want to go there?
First time I have a bad game.
Like, yeah, I mean, like, he's no, you know, it's not like Barnes. I mean, you remember, the hell's his name? Barnes from NC State. What's his name? AJ? What the hell's his name? CJ. CJ Barnes? NC State?
DJ Burns.
CJ Burns.
DJ.
DJ. See, that's been a minute.
Yeah, DJ. I know.
Yes. That guy, look, he for his size and what he was, man, he put in a lot of minutes. And he hustled best he could, but, you know, there was times where he's seen his ass wore out. It's just a big dude, you know. And I don't know if Eddie Lampkin's as talented as him, but, you know, that's going to be, you know, you're going to have to get your nuggets right, man, and get your conditioning in because – it, you know, that's a 90 feet every 30 seconds. It's a lot.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah,
well,
speaking of that, I know we were talking last podcast, we were talking about how, and, you know, maybe it wasn't such a bad loss in the ACC tournament because NC State went ahead to win that ACC tournament. Damn sure didn't they just go and make it to the Final Four too, huh?
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. Yeah, it was. It was a good run for them. It's almost like they were going to pull it off, but
yeah. And the thing with that too is, and the one thing that I did like about that was because NC State has been doing this kind of transfer portal thing. You know, everybody that was in that rotation was at least 2 years removed from transferring there. So we just had an occasion just last year where we saw a team that had a bunch of experienced transfers come in, and it might take a little while for them to figure out how to play with each other, but damned if you can get it together. And by the ACC tournament, then they just proved that a full team of transfers can actually come together and make a run. So, and then you look at our team and we got the two recruits and the four, you know, graduate seniors coming in, like, gives me gives me some type of confidence that maybe something could happen. It's just also too, what's it going to look like in the beginning? What's it going to look like in the first month in non-conference?
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It's so hard to predict. And if I didn't set expectations last year, I'm not. It's impossible to predict. I don't think that there's any expectations that lie with basketball so much as it is football. We'll talk a little bit of football here in a second, but one more thing real quick before we wrap that up is that you just told me that before we came on, no Boeheim's Army this year, which is, you know, I was wondering, like, why the TBT in general was so quiet. Like,
that's why.
but the tournament's still going on.
Oh, yeah, the tournament's still
going on. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about the tournament.
Well, I mean,
it usually starts in early July.
I think it's the late July. But
oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, we'll probably hear more about it. I just think that normally around this time,
I don't care,
and even prior, it's normally news about Boeheim's Army and who's going to be on the team.
Yeah, like the roster stuff's already being like reported about.
That news would have been all over the place for the past month.
Right, right, right. Yeah. So they were having trouble getting actual Syracuse players, which has kind of been slow rolling that way.
Yeah. It's being close, but it's honorable for them because I don't know how fans would have taken it if they would have got together a team named Boeheim's Army with like one Syracuse player on it.
Yeah, it just, you gotta, you know, if you really thought about it, you saw it coming.
Yep.
So, okay, well, we can talk some football if you want. I don't even know where to begin with any of this, to be honest with you.
Stuff, right?
Huh?
That's what's tough because they have been getting. I know that you've kind of been checked out of it, but I know that they've been getting a lot of attention from some, you know, pundits who think that they're a sleeper team in the ACC and all that stuff. But
well, let's. Why don't we start? Well, let's do something. Let's do it. Let's make it somewhat easy.
Okay.
And
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Jewelry can say many things on your wedding day. As a wedding band, it can say, "This is a forever symbol of our forever love." As a gift to your wedding party, it can say, "Thanks for standing up there with us." Blue Nile can help you find the piece that says it all and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The one thing that I see just looking the past couple days, just kind of like you try to prepare for a podcast and I'm like, oh yeah, and it's like, I'm just like, it's like drinking from a fire hose, bro. Like I can't I can't do it. It's not worth like me getting into. I don't know enough about it all. And so The one thing I'll say, though, is like the glaring issue here, and we talk a lot about offensive line and stuff, which seems good. I mean, you got some big guys coming in on the line and stuff like that. That looks solid, and yep, some guys returning. But what happens if Kyle McCord, who's not a scrambling type guy, gets in trouble? Let's say he's out for a half a game, or he's out for a game, and we got to put in Carlos Del Rio Wilson. Like, I don't have the confidence in him to do anything. I'm sorry. I just don't. I mean, I've seen him.
I mean, that's, yeah. And that doesn't mean that the guy,
I mean, guys, we put a freaking tight end at quarterback last year. Carlos Del Rio Wilson was injured, though, at some point, right? He was. Is that what we found out later?
I think that they said that, but I don't. Who knows if that was.
But my point is this, is that I've seen small glimmers of hope from him, but not enough to give me the confidence to be like, okay, well, we got a solid backup if Kyle McCord goes out. Like, Kyle McCord's got to stay healthy all year at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think too, you know, we also have to give some people the benefit of the doubt, right? Because, like, I mean, it's a new system. Right. I mean, you look at the guys that they got coming in, like you said, we pretty much return mostly everybody on the offensive line, and we're going to get Wallaba Jr. back. Plus, we got, you know, an HBCU All-American, you know, from Howard, and another guy from Colorado, a transfer. I mean, we got some big boys. So I think this offensive line unit is going to be a lot different. And also, too, like, you know, Fran Brown said, you know, we're going to do what the other team's weaknesses, and they said they're going to run the ball. So, like, to me, this is more of a pro style run, set up the play action with Kyle McCord, stuff like that. It's not going to be the same type of stuff that we've been seeing in the same systems. You know, he's in a running system with Garrett Schrader and stuff like that, with a running quarterback system. So they could really, really dumb it down, and you could use the running game and play action stuff like that to be able to slow and settle some players down sometimes. So it's going to be interesting to see, but I do agree with you. Like, I think that we've gotten better in every single room, deeper in every single position room. I just think that in that room, although we did get deeper, I don't think we still have, to your point, a backup quarterback that we can say if Kyle McCord goes down, then our season is ruined. And I think that's where a lot of Syracuse fans are right now.
Well, you know, there must be a plan. Like, how long do they have to work on this? Like, another, like, realistically, like a month? Maybe, yeah, not even?
Yeah, I mean, a little over a month.
So I'm saying, yeah, if you're going to pull someone out of the portal, or you're going to do that, that's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the one thing, too, is it's hard to transfer portal for, because guys want to play, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, you got quarterbacks that are like, oh, well, these are my options. Oh, I can go be a backup to Kyle McCord at Syracuse, or I can go be a starter at Georgia State, or a name insert Division I program here. Like, they're going to go do that versus sit behind someone they're clearly not going to play over. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. I mean, I get it.
So it's tough to you know, go out there and recruit through the transfer portal for backups. Because if you're transferring, I mean, unless you just haven't been playing well, then you want to go somewhere where you're going to play. So, unfortunately, that's where we are. Now, this is the other thing, though, is that I know that, you know, we still have Jakari Williams coming in from Georgia, you know, three-star quarterback who was a pretty good get for us. And who knows? Who knows what that guy could be, right? And who knows if Dan Villari's actually taking reps with quarterback or not. Maybe he's learning the system as well.
Yeah, I got that really decent tight end coming in, too. What was his name?
Jamie Trumbull?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, when you start thinking about it, it's like you got the Jamie Trumbull, Aronde Gadsden coming back. We know what Dan Villari can do now, so you know they're going to try to get him the ball.
He should be just a gadget guy. Yeah, I mean, whatever you can do. You know, you want to talk about the run game. Well, I mean, we saw what he did last year. If they really want to, you know, get nasty, you throw Dan Villari in there and he can get nasty.
They definitely can, but I think they're going to stay away from that and stay more towards a traditional, because, again, you know, LaQuinn Allen coming back, I think Yacine Willis was, a freshman coming in. We flipped him from Pittsburgh, and he was super impressive in the spring game. He looks like a very powerful back. And on top of that, we just got our offensive coordinator, Mixon. His son is a backup running back at Washington, and he just transferred to Syracuse. So our running back room is deeper than it's been in quite some time. With the weapons that we have, the addition of Zeed Haynes from Georgia, Jackson Meeks from Georgia, from those, you know, receiver situation, on top of, you know, Hornsby and Emmanuel Ross, the two guys that we flipped from Texas A&M and Stanford for receiver. I mean, it's just Trevor Pena coming back healthy. He's only played in one game last year. I mean, and then you bring in Kyle McCord. Man, like, we have weapons on offense. We have bigger linemen, and Kyle McCord is a legit quarterback. So, I mean, when you look at that, you know, unless they beat themselves or some type of injury happens, then I see a way better offense this year.
Oh, there should be no argument there for sure. It's just, so, you know, when we talk about, all right, so look, here's the thing. And you and I both know how Syracuse fans are. So when you look at this roster, okay, and you start with Ohio, right? And we can poo-poo Ohio, I guess, right? We
don't know. Ohio's won two straight years. They've won 10-plus games.
Right. And they were, didn't they win the championship? Was it the MAC or whatever last year?
Yeah.
So, you know, we sat here and looked and we're like, hey, man, this is going to be a good schedule. This is going to be the ideal schedule for a first-year coach. And we could do a lot with it. But where the expectations are being set and all the hype and all the this and the that, and you play Ohio at Syracuse, and then Georgia Tech comes to the Dome. I mean, you know, that's not...
Georgia Tech's a team that's on the rise. I mean, they played, they got better as the season went on last year.
And I don't know nothing about Stanford. And I mean, Stanford and Holy Cross should be, right? I mean, you should be seriously looking at starting 4-0, I guess. You know, Georgia Tech would be the juggernaut there for me.
Me too.
And then you got a primetime game, and Joe, you mentioned this to me because I didn't even know, but you got a primetime game against UNLV in Las Vegas, and that bitch starts at 9 o'clock. What the hell? What day is October 4th? Is it a Friday? Okay, all right. At least it's a Friday, so I'll definitely make it till halftime. But that could be a tough one too, because you know they're kind of on the rise. They've been for the past few years been decent, and then you go to NC State, and then you go to Pitt. That's not it's not as easy as it looked to me last year when we were checking it
out. You do get a bye between the NC State and Pitt.
Sorry. Okay, fair enough. You do. My bad. That's right. But then after Pitt, you're hosting Virginia Tech, then you're going to Boston College, and you know, I think Boston College sucks, but you know, then you got to go all the way back out to California.
Virginia Tech got good last year.
They did.
By the end of the year,
they got that quarterback. What's his name?
Something like that.
Then you got to go back out to California after Boston College. Then you're going to get, you know, then you should have a gimme with UConn, and then the last game of the season is that Miami game at the Dome, which I'll be home for Thanksgiving this year. That's the plan anyway. So I may be booking my tickets to that game because I feel like it's to be determined time wise. But if that's noon game, especially, bro, I'll just go to the game and then come back home. but I'm saying that could be a pivotal game, that Miami game. I don't see Syracuse just waxing the floor and being like, oh, you know, championship bound, you know, where that's where everybody's at. Now, whether you really believe that in your heart, in your gut, is one thing. I mean, maybe you just like to say it, you know, because Fran the man and all of those things. But let's be realistic. It ain't this schedule is weird. It is as weird as I've ever seen a Syracuse football schedule ever in my 45 years.
Yeah, it's weird because of just, I mean, just
the to throw a couple. California stuff.
Well, the California stuff definitely throws it out, you know, like off, obviously, with us having to travel, you know, obviously. But at the same time, you know, it's going to be the same thing with the West Coast traveling to the East Coast. I mean, there's going to be issues. But just a couple things about this. I think our first two games are the most important. Going back to what you said, I think that Ohio, even though, you know, the line's already out and we're 14.5-point favorites, like, I don't think Ohio's the easiest, you know, smaller conference school that you could play. Especially, I mean, it's not even close to the easiest MAC school that you could have put in there. Think Georgia Tech is obviously on the rise and getting better. The one thing that sucks is that, you know, I believe that we can beat Stanford and we can beat Holy Cross. Like, those should be two gimmies. So I think that what we do the first two games is going to depend on whether we start 2-2 or 4-0, basically. And
Stanford stunk last year.
Well, yes, they did. And we also, that's the other thing that kind of sucks about the schedule, is that our first bye is after Georgia Tech. So it's in between week 2 and week 3. So we get a bye before Stanford comes, and Stanford is on a Friday night. So that Stanford game is a 7:30 Friday night kickoff. Then Holy Cross next week gets us back into that. Then, like I said, UNLV is a Friday night kickoff at 9. And what was the other one? Oh, NCC. Pittsburgh.
Oh.
At Pittsburgh is a Thursday night game at 7:30.
All the late games, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, so we play...
It's like every other week.
We play two Friday games and a Thursday game this year. So, like you said, it's definitely weird because normally we don't play those many games on a weekday.
With four more undetermined, too. So, who knows?
And we normally don't travel to the West Coast two times in a season. So, there's that as well. Having to take those trips to UNLV in California. But at the same time, you know, you can argue that, you know, possibly the top four teams... possibly in the ACC this year, maybe top three, aren't even on our schedule. So
I wish that they were. Like, I wish we played UNC this year. I wish we played Florida State. You know, you hear a lot of fans our age talk about, oh, let's go back to the Big East, let's go back to Big East. I mean, I'm comfortable in the ACC. I've become accustomed to it. I love the game. I love the matchups in the ACC. I think for a lot of it, I mean, I think it's better. I think some of the matchups are better. I enjoy playing some of these other teams more than enjoyed playing some of the Big East teams. With that said, we got some Big East teams in the ACC. So yeah, I think it's a perfect combination, right? What they did with this, What they're doing with everything stinks. It stinks. These California teams, dude. Atlantic Coast Conference. You got.
Meaning Atlantic Ocean.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it means, right?
Yeah, because there's the Pac-12, right? Which means Pacific. I think the Pacific Ocean, which is where they were in the first place.
Yeah, and how many teams are in there? It used to be 12. What is there now?
None. It's gone.
The Pac Zero, yeah, right.
Hey, go figure that the first Power Five conference to be like just completely just destroyed is from the state of California. Go figure.
Well, and then they got these international games, bro. There's this yes, dude. Who the hell was it? Who's playing in Dublin? Someone's playing in Dublin from the ACC.
Probably Notre Dame.
No, bro, it's not.
They're not sending Notre Dame to Ireland?
No. That's a good point, but they're not in the ACC either. Pick a conference. God.
Yeah, well.
Seriously.
They're still playing teams in the ACC.
Yeah, come on. When amongst all of the bullshit, you still got Notre Dame doing whatever the hell they want. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So corrupt. What the hell?
All those teams are just it's just going to be super weird, bro. Like Oklahoma and Texas are in the SEC this year. USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon. Well, they're going to be in the Big 10 or the Big 18 now or whatever the hell it is. And then the rest of the Pac-12 went down to the Big 12, which is whatever. I don't know.
The Big 12? Okay. Look, there's an international college game. I'm almost positive. I thought you would know if I mentioned it. And let me see if I can.
Is it the first one, like the first week?
I think so. I think it might be. Someone's got some traveling to do. Let's put it that way. And it ain't us. Thank God.
No. Anyways. Yeah, there it is.
Florida State
and Georgia Tech.
I thought it was Georgia Tech. Yeah. So Georgia Tech, and they play
August 24th. So it's a week before we play.
Right.
It's a Ohio. Week before,
okay. So they go where after that?
I bet you they get a bye.
Hold on. They must. So they play Florida
State. They play Georgia State at home. They're going to have two games in before we play them.
There you go. You got the August 24th, they play in Dublin, then they play Georgia State, and then they come to the Dome. So, yeah, I mean,
brutal schedule.
It is. That's a rough start. And then, you know,
I was just looking after. At Louisville, at North Carolina, home against Notre Dame, at Virginia Tech, home against Miami, home against NC State, then at Georgia.
Well, I was just going to mention the Georgia Tech factor, being that Fran Brown has been playing Georgia Tech, right? And it was close until it wasn't last year. You remember that game?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a small...
Yeah, it goes with Georgia.
Right. Yeah. So... it was it's maybe a slight advantage Fran Brown on that end, and with them doing all that traveling, it's something that, you know, I guess bodes to our favor. But interesting that they're doing this. Someone loses a home game when you do that. I don't think that's fair at all. In whether it be pro or college, I don't think it's fair to lose a home game. And so. Anyways, yeah, it's a little, just everything's a little weird. Everything's a little weird. And then before you know it, there's going to be a conference for all the marbles. And then there's going to be everybody else. So instead of having, you know, all these.
Yeah, who knows where this is going, right?
Yeah.
And, situation where we don't know. And I think looking back at it, we talked a little bit about this, because I know that our last podcast we were starting to talk about, obviously, the recruiting class and the transfer portal class that, you know, Fran Brown put together before his first time being in the top 40 since they started doing all these rankings, and he did that in 2 months. So we were talking about how, okay, maybe it was a good hire. You know, maybe we did need to get rid of Babers. Like, I think that with everything that's going on with the conference now, like, I think that there is a small window right now to kind of like step
prove
your game
yourself.
Up and prove, and yeah, and actually be like, oh yeah, we do need to have Sarah. Oh, they got Fran Brown. Oh, they're full, you know, we need them, right? Our coach Red Autry. Like, this is a crucial, critical point in the future.
Athletics. This next couple of years, they're going to have to really step it up, because if you're not going to be part of that 32 team or whatever team. Conference that's going to be.
I don't know how it's going to, you know, who knows if it's going to be, you know, a 32 team conference in the north and a 32 team conference in the south, and then, you know, they have the Civil War Bowl after or something. I don't know.
But it's headed that way, though.
It's heading in a more like professional. Obviously, as we see with the money and with playing internationally, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so that's pretty much where we're at. And, This is the time, like, we need, and it's great momentum. You know, I think that, you know, I don't know if Fran Brown, if he didn't come and get hired and come with, everything that he came with as far as just his emotion and his passion and just the confidence and everything that came with him. I know you felt it when you listened to him talk, same thing. And now we got momentum. And I mean, I don't know if he doesn't get this coaching job and we kept Babers, and then what happened this year, and you know, in the whole just basketball and all this transfer stuff and how you're like, it's just not fun anymore. Like, I don't know if we were doing a podcast this fall.
Well, the
Brand Brown could have saved this podcast.
No.
Would you have done? No. Last time you said, look, okay, I think I'm done. I'm at least going to see it through this football season because Fran Brown, because he's got everyone excited, you know, with all the transfers and everything that he's been doing and the commitment. I mean, he's got us just, he sucked us back in.
He sucked me back in as far as my excitement for the actual team. Yes. However, I don't know if I said it on the air or what. My goal, after we did 100 episodes of this show, my goal was like 500. I'm hard-headed enough to where I'm going to hit that 500 mark. I don't know, you know, it didn't matter to me how or when or how long the episodes were. I'm going to hit that mark. This, the Fran Brown thing just solidified it for me. I'm like, yeah, we're hitting that. That's going to be a no problem because we're going to do... You know, I would like to do a at least the first year of Fran Brown, I would like to do a traditional football season the way we've done it in the past. And then, you know, when it comes to basketball, thinking about going maybe once a week, you know, every Sunday or something, and just shoot the recap, talk about the week coming up ahead,
you know,
keep the fan stuff going. You know, stuff like that for basketball, because the basketball football overlaps bad enough, but basketball is the season that drains me because I've got soccer for my daughter. I've got my son's lacrosse. I've got 2 to 3 games a week in
holidays.
It's too much. Yeah, it just became, you know, you do it 8 years and it became too much. So with that said, you know, if we have a set time, Believe's only asking for a podcast a week, shouldn't be an issue. And I told them, you know, summer's kind of the summer and they're fine with that. They're like, it's not a lot going on. They're cool with it. So anyways, with that said, that's kind of how I feel about it. But Fran Brown I just am excited to see what can happen. My point of bringing all this up and prefacing the schedule by talking about expectations is that we don't. I mean, how many years have we been coming to the table for football or basketball where it looks great on paper? Like, look what Deion Sanders did last. You remember all the hype for Deion Sanders last year? Like, you thought he was going to win a national championship last year.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they laid an egg most of the time. I mean, I think they got beat by Stanford, or almost beat by Stanford last year.
Yeah.
That was a really close game, and Stanford stunk.
Yeah. Like, but at the same time, like, you have to, sometimes you have to go in, you have to clean house, you have to get your guys in there, get them to understand.
I know. I feel like that's what Fran's doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the same thing that we're doing, right?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I think that's what Fran Brown's doing. However, you can't be part of a team and be selfish. You can't be part of a team and not do your job. You know, you have to work well together. When you're adding all these different people all the time, every year, when you can put it together, it's a beautiful thing. But you can have all the talent in the world. If you can't put it together, then you could end up like Colorado. And I'll say that I think Fran Brown has the mindset, the leadership, and the charisma to be, like, I have more faith in him. But, you know, Deion Sanders is a charismatic guy, too. He's just not a coach. Like, he is a coach, but I don't think that he's as good of a coach as Fran Brown.
Yeah, you know, and at some point, too, I mean, like I said, I think everyone got sucked in. But, I mean, it was just, there was too much on him. Like, everything was videotaped. Everything was... You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how well that works. You know, I think that, I get the feeling from Fran Brown that he's not a huge fan of the media. I think he pretty much admitted that, right? When he talked or had an interview at one
point. Well, he warned him,
but he was also there where they said, like, what are you worried most? He basically said you. And he said the media, because he knows how the media can mess things up, you know, twist words. And you know, I just don't know. That's that. I mean, I don't know. That's the one thing that I'm anxious to see, because like what are those post game pressers going to look like?
Well, you
know
what someone I mean? Better like, bring some. Someone better bring some chutzpah back to that for me. Like, I need some Boeheim-esque things going on.
Well, dude, I'm just saying. I don't know if you're going to get Boeheim, because that got to the point where it was just like.
He did everything but throw shit at people.
I know, but when you're there in the same room for 40-something years, then it can get that way, right? Like, I mean, he was in that room, you know.
I just need someone who's going to be straight. Like, okay, look. I love Dino Babers.
That's what I mean.
Dino Babers beat around the bush every freaking presser.
Way too much coach speak.
Way
and, you know,
too much. Like
movie
how many
quotes
times did we,
and analogies.
Yeah, how many times are we told about a cake baking in Belief Without Evidence? Like, bro, like we ain't talking about Jesus Christ, okay? We're talking about football games, and you're losing them. So let's go.
Those are good things to say in the beginning, but at some point, you got to turn it. And, yeah, I get
seven,
it.
Eight years down the road, we're like, hello, put up.
Something tells me that we're going to get
we're going to get
some stuff, you know, but also too, he also came out and said too that he wants him to talk to the assistants too. You know what I mean? He don't want it to just be them. He don't want it to just be him, because they're out there doing it too, you know? So he's already promoted that to the media as well. It ain't just about him. So unlike Babers, where it seemed like he didn't want his assistants to talk, this Fran's like, talk to the assistants too. So I don't know how long they're going to be. But I'm sure that we're going to get some stuff, and I think we're going to get some very brutally honest answers too. I think that that's really what gets me more than anything. Like you said, I think Fran comes across as more of like a leader of men, like as a prime, you might get something when the videos are on, and then you don't get that. And then he's gone. Right.
Yeah.
Like, but Fran, he's doing all his work behind the scenes with him and his coaches. They're looking out for their players. You know what I'm saying? What they're saying isn't fake. And I think that, you know, if anything, these coaches have proven that they can recruit. They've proven that they know what type of athlete they want, and they're confident in the fact that they can develop them into, you know, good adults, good men, good leaders, and good football players. And you see that even with this 2025 class. I mean, I know you haven't been paying attention, and it's not like it's amazing right now. It's currently ranked 16th for next year, right? But it's because of the amount of commits. We have 24 commits. But when you look at it and you look at the size and you look at some of the raw ability and you look at certain stuff like that, like it's clear they know what type of offensive linemen they're looking for. They know what type of receivers and D-backs with track speed and all this stuff. They might not have all the high school football accolades, but they play football and they have all the tools. So that's the one thing with these guys. Is to me, I feel like they can bring together men, and that they can develop young men into being not just good but great. And not all of them are going to do it, but to me, that's where I'm not as worried about it. Because like you said, comparing it to Deion, like that could just be like a show, right? Like the lights are on, the camera's on, and oh, he's this. And then as soon as they're off, he's gone. He's not in front of the team. He's having the assistants do everything. Like, we don't know how that whole thing is ran. So, yeah, I mean, I'm as confident as I've been in quite some time as far as that goes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because, you know, because when Dino came in, he said all the right things. Right? I remember that speech on the court, right? It was like, oh, okay. But at the end of the day, like, I mean, he came from Bowling Green. He was a head coach previously and everything like that. When it's like kind of a what have you done for me lately, where we've seen Elijah Robinson and we've seen, I mean, they came from SEC, like good. Georgia's just won how many national championships in a row? Like, obviously.
Two, right?
Obviously.
Two?
I don't know if it's two or if it's three, but both of them have been top recruiters, top five recruiters in the rankings for the past 2 years. So, like, they've proven that they can recruit and they're proven that they can develop, you know, good football players. And that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm excited to see, you know, what this team can do. You know, we're talking about, oh, we're going to win an ACC championship. I mean, I just don't know.
Well, look, we'll see. The players are coming out and they're talking about it, so they sound like they believe it. And, you know, like you said, I mean, it's probably pretty far-fetched, right? But...
Oh, if they come out and do it, that's great, but I'm not going to sit here and...
No, but I'm just saying, that just tells me that the coaches have actually shown them and said the right things and done the right things behind closed doors to actually get these players to believe. You know, Dino Babers comes back next year, or for this year. Do you really think those players believe? First off, do we even get Kyle McCord? Do we even get some of these other players?
Like, no, probably not. And you probably got, like I mean, Dan Villari all but called it out. I mean, there's no accountability, and I don't know to what degree he's talking about, but he's just basically saying there's no accountability. I mean, when you false start or you do these awful pre-snap penalties that we've been watching for endlessly, years after year after year, I mean, I don't know to what degree he's saying, but there's no accountability. When you hold yourself accountable and people aren't holding themselves accountable and coaches aren't holding those people accountable, you're like, what the hell, man? Like, I'm doing everything I can. Like, and you guys are screwing up. The coach is not disciplining you. And I'm over here playing quarterback. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Running the wildcat. And right. I'm a tight end. So,
yeah.
Look, it's obvious frustration.
When he's got to be on cloud nine, he had to be on cloud nine when Fran Brown got hired. And then because, you know, he came from a championship caliber, program. He came from Michigan and coached Jim Harbaugh. So, you know, that there's accountability over there.
He'd have a championship right now if he stayed.
If he stayed. Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know.
Yeah.
OK, well, I think that's going to wrap it up.
I think that's pretty good. Yeah.
Look. I don't know when we'll be back. You know, we'll plan some things. We're going to change buy, sell, or hold to believe it or don't believe it. And we're going to eliminate the hold. So I'm going to come up with some of those.
OBR?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was a good idea I had.
That is actually a really good idea.
I thought of it in the shower this morning and I'm like, damn, we're supposed to podcast today. And I definitely don't have enough time to throw any out there, but we will. And then we'll do those. And then obviously, maybe have someone on to, I've had a lot of emails about doing, joining a group a podcast group, not a network, or any part of a network, but a group that does collaborations. And it's a lot of different podcasts doing what we do to get like crossover content. And you know me, I was just like, I'll just hold this email and come back to it later. But,
those are the emails you don't like to tell me about.
Yeah. Well, I forwarded you one that they wanted us on their YouTube show and you never called the guy back or texted the guy back or whatever. Emailed the guy back.
We're a team, Sean.
I told Joe, I'm going to forward you this email. If you want to go on, didn't have at it, dude. I trust you. It's all good. You can represent. I'm not going to be there, though. he's like, okay, well, I'm not doing it either. So with that said, you know, some crossover content, maybe Tyler comes on. Maybe Joe and Tyler delve into, you know, positions and whatnot. And I don't know, you know, I'm just spitballing here. So I don't know, but we'll be back with something obviously before too long. So anyways, we are here. We didn't go anywhere. It may have sounded like it. Joe said he listened to the last podcast just to see where we're at. And it wasn't exactly uplifting. Let's just put it that way. So
the last 5 minutes was like, I thought it was the end of the podcast, man.
Really?
No, yeah.
I had a couple of texts, not texts, but DMs or Twitter messages or whatever about the last podcast and how sad it made people and how sad they thought we were. So, anyway. Look, trust me. I ain't getting sad about none of this. I'm not. That was my realization time period where I'm just like, came to terms with it all. Okay, I knew it was happening. It was just coming to terms with it. Like, there's no reason to be sad about anything related to the Coliseum. It's okay. Like, life goes on.
It is. 100%.
Right?
So. And I got your situation too. I completely understand, and it's just one of those things where I wasn't sad because of the fact of, like, you know, the team or the this or the that. Like you said, it's not fun anymore or anything. You know, I enjoy the podcast. I enjoy the banter with the fans, and you know. But I also understand that that can't, you know, take, you know, the real important things in life away from you. So
yeah, if I'm going to go online and read some stuff, like, it should be something else, maybe sometimes.
I mean, like, it's just, we only have so many hours, days, weeks, years in this, on this earth, you know?
Yeah. And you want to be right. So not right, like right or wrong, right? But you want to be right.
Meaning
you
want to
spend your time wisely with, you know, your family or your faith or whatever. And don't worry about the small stuff. Sports is small stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. In the grand scheme of things, it's whatever, you know?
Yep.
But with that said, we're back. We'll be back again. I do not know when. However, it'll happen. You have my word. Like I said, we're going to, what is this, episode 182? We're going to at least our 182, 482. We're going to at least 500. So you got that. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. But anyways, appreciate all of you. Welcome us back. We welcome you back. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace.
You didn't crack a beer either when we started the show, by the way.
I did.
You did? Oh, I didn't hear.
I'm drinking. I just probably didn't have it close enough to my mic.
You're going to have to fix that.
Yeah, I am.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.